The Truth Broadcast program is sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.
Welcome to the Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight Shepherd. On today's broadcast, we'll discover truth from God's Word that brings freedom. So grab your Bible as we join Pastor Dwight now for today's message.
Well, this is Pastor Dwight Shepherd. Thank you once again for joining us on the Truth Broadcast. And before we get into the main part of our program today, if I could just take a moment and wish you a very happy Resurrection weekend. Thank God for Good Friday, for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, willing to lay his life down for us on the cross. The Bible says that he literally became sin for us that we might inherit the blessing of God. And the proof that he had the authority to do these things is found in the fact that on that third day, just as Jesus had said, he was risen from the tomb. The power of the Holy Spirit entered that place, and Jesus was raised from the dead. On the day of Pentecost, as the Apostle Peter stood up to address the crowd that had gathered for that festival, he spoke of the resurrection of Jesus. He says it in this way in Acts chapter 2 and verse 22 from the Passion Translation Bible. People of Israel, listen to the facts. Jesus, the victorious, was a man on a divine mission whose authority was clearly proven. For you know how God performed many powerful miracles, signs, and wonders through him. This man's destiny was prearranged, for God knew that Jesus would be handed over to you to be crucified, that you would execute him on a cross by the hands of lawless men, and yet it was all part of God's predetermined plan. God destroyed the cords of death and raised him up because it was impossible for death's power to hold him prisoner. Praise God. I want to invite you that if you don't have a church family to celebrate Resurrection Weekend or any other weekend, we'd like to invite you to join us at Living Waters. We meet here in Burns Flat at 109 West Webb Street on Sundays at 10 a.m. and on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for Bible study and worship. And we would absolutely love for you to join us. Well, we've got a great message to share with you today, so let's grab our Bibles and open up to the Word of God. I want to get into God's Word this morning to a passage of Scripture found in John chapter 11. At the end of Jesus' ministry, very shortly before he would go into Jerusalem and confront Pharisees one last time in the temple, the Bible says that in John chapter 11 and verse 1, there was a man named Lazarus who was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Martha and her sister Mary. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus. I want you to listen to the word they sent to Jesus. They said, Lord, the one you love is sick. They're speaking about Lazarus. And so we can determine something from this passage of Scripture real quickly. And that is this, that even though God loves us, and he certainly does love us, and I think that brings to my mind to think that, you know, there are times, many times in life that we're tempted by circumstances that happen to us and to those we care about. We're tempted to say, well, if you love me, God, and we need to just honestly just strike that from our thinking and our vocabulary, because there's no if concerning God's love. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That's John 3:16, probably the most famous Bible verse there is. But Romans kind of describes more clearly why God did it this way. It says, God demonstrated his own love toward us in this, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So if there's some circumstance that comes into our life today or the life of someone we care about and we're tempted to say or think, if God loved me, why is this happening? If we're tempted to think that or say that, let's just go back and focus on what happened this past Friday in history on Good Friday. Let's just go back and focus on the fact that God demonstrated once and for all that he loves us with an absolute unconditional love when he himself bore our sin on the cross. The Bible says he literally became a curse for us so that we could be redeemed from the curse of sin. And he demonstrated that love once and for all. So we just need to settle that. That God does really love us. No matter what comes or what goes, God's love is for us. God's love never fails us.
And so we take up our story, and it says Lazarus, who Jesus loved. Now, this is a personal friend of Jesus. Mary, Martha, Lazarus, all personal friends of Jesus. They said, Lord, the one you love is sick. So if you're sick, that doesn't mean he doesn't love you. If you have problems, it doesn't mean he doesn't love you. It says, when he heard this, Jesus heard this, he made this statement in verse 4 of John 11. He said, this sickness will not end in death. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was there and I heard Jesus say, well, this sickness will not end in death, here's what I would hear him say. I would hear him say, Lazarus is not going to die. You know, hey, Lord, the one you love is sick. You know, and the unspoken part is, and we know that you're the healer. We know that when you say to the lame man, get up and take up your mat, he's empowered to do it, and he gets up and he's healed and he walks. And we know, Lord God, that when you say to the blind man, you know, go and wash the mud out of your eyes in the pool, that when he goes and he washes the mud out of his eyes, that his eyes are open and blindness is no more. And we know that when you speak to deaf ears hear. And so now we know, you know, Jesus, we know that when we ask you to come and heal Lazarus, it's a done deal. It's going to happen. And so we know, we believe that you're the healer, you're the Christ. And so they send word to him. And it says, when Jesus heard that his friend who he loved, Lazarus, was sick, he said, this sickness will not end in death. Well, I would have heard him say, he ain't going to die. But that's not what he said, is it? You look at your word there in verse 4, it says, this sickness will not end in death. It did not say Lazarus would not die. And I think many times when we come into a place of disappointment in our lives, when we feel like God has let us down, it very well may be that we have expectations that are not in line with God's will. And so he said his sickness will not end in death. He said, no, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. And I want to tell you this about sickness, because Jesus is not glorified in the sickness. Jesus is glorified when he makes the sickness go away, when he proves his dominion over sickness. The Bible says in Acts 10:38 that God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power, and he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. And so we know that, you know, Jesus never made anyone sick, but he made a lot of sick people well, and in doing so, he was glorified. He was manifested to be the Son of God, the Word of God manifest. And so he proved his authority and his dominion over sickness. He also proved to us that sickness is not God's teacher of the church. That's the Holy Spirit. The teacher of the church is the Holy Spirit, not sickness. God doesn't make us sick to teach us something. God doesn't make us sick to punish us. God doesn't make us sick, period. But sickness is part of this fallen world. Sickness is part of this, and the devil uses that to his advantage. He brings sickness on people, and he always tries to point the finger at God, as if God himself made us sick. But the Bible says in 1 Peter 2:24 that Jesus bore our sicknesses and griefs on the cross, and by his stripes we were healed. And I personally have stood on this word for many, many years now and lived in the health and healing that God has given us. And I'm telling you the truth today, the truth will set you free. The truth is that God is a healer. God is not the one that makes people sick. But God can use sickness, God can use trials to bring glory to Jesus when the trial is over, when the sickness is defeated by Jesus Christ. And so here, Jesus says, this sickness will not end in death. It's for the glory of God. It's for my glory. And Jesus, it says, loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And yet, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for two more days. Now, that doesn't sound like love. You know, I know that you can heal, and I need you to come and heal, and so I ask you to do it, and yet you stay two more days. Jesus, what's going on? Well, we know from the scriptures that Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. The words that I speak, they're not my own, but the words I speak come from the Father. And so we know that Jesus didn't just go around doing things. Jesus did what the Holy Spirit, at the Father's command, told Jesus to do. He was led by the Holy Spirit. And you and I have the opportunity to be led by the Holy Spirit. The word says in Romans 8, that they that are led by the Spirit are the children of God, and we certainly are the children of God if we've made Jesus our Lord. So we too can be like Jesus, be led of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, being led of the Holy Spirit here, stayed right where he was for 2 days. When the messenger came, said, Lazarus, you love, is sick. Jesus didn't just fall into a panic and take off and go do things, but He waited on the leading of the Holy Spirit. He stayed right where he was for 2 days. And then after that, he told his disciples, we're going to go back. We're going to go back into Jerusalem. We're going to go back there where Lazarus is, Bethany. And I'm going to paraphrase a little bit for the sake of time. But he said, you know, he's fallen asleep, but we're going to go there and wake him up. And the disciples thought he was talking about just sleep, natural sleep. And so they said, well, Lord, if he's sleeping, he's going to get better. And Jesus looked at them, and I want you to see this in your Bible. So if you want to look at verse 14, it says, so then he told them plainly, you know, sometimes we just need to hear it plainly, Lazarus is dead, D-E-A-D, dead. Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I'm glad I was not there. That's what he said. That sounds like it. Oh, my gosh, don't you even care, Lord? Don't you even care? Of course he cares. He was going to go to the cross not very long after this to prove how much he cares, and not just to prove how much he cares, but to purchase for us eternal right of redemption. So he cares. Don't ever think for a minute that God doesn't care. Jesus, in speaking to the people on the Sermon on the Mount, reminded us that not even a sparrow can fall to the ground without God's notice, and that we're of much more value than sparrows. He said that God feeds the birds of the air and he clothes the flowers of the field and he cares about the things we need. He went on to say that God even has numbered the very hairs of our head. I don't know about you. I have no idea how many hairs are in my head. And to be honest with you, I perfectly don't care. I kind of like having some, but I guess if they all went away, I'd just go on and smile. I'd probably go around saying, well, you know, that static interference was interfering with me hearing from God or something. But you know, I don't care how many hairs I have. You probably don't care how many hairs you have. You certainly don't know how many you have. But God does. God knows how many hairs you have. That's how infinitely he cares about you, that he knows and numbers the very hairs of your head. So don't ever again allow yourself to think for more than just a second that God doesn't care. When you catch yourself thinking God doesn't care, you just need to cast down that thought, that imagination, and remind yourself of what Jesus did on the cross. And say to yourself, I know God cares. He proved it on the cross of Jesus. So God cares. Jesus cares. And because Jesus cares and because Jesus loves, even though they ask him to come and heal Lazarus, he's got a better plan. Now, one of my favorite Bible verses, if you don't already have this one memorized, please, before this day is over, go and memorize this verse. It's not a difficult one. It's Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28, and it says this. It says, and we know that in all things, we know this, we know it. We don't have to hope it. We don't think it. We know it. We know that in all things, God works together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. We know that in all things, not just the good things. It's obvious. I mean, it's easy for us to believe when something really wonderful happens in our life that God did it and God's doing good to us. But in all things, good, bad, or otherwise, God is always working for our good. He's never working to harm us or to do us harm or allow us harm. God is always working things together for our good if we just stay in that love relationship with him that's provided through Jesus.
We hope you're being blessed and encouraged as Pastor Dwight shares this inspiring teaching from God's Word today, and would like to take a moment to thank you for listening and invite you to reach out to us here at the Truth Broadcast. It would be our honor to stand in faith with you in prayer about any need you have and to rejoice with you for the wonderful things God is doing in your life. You can contact us by email at thetruthbroadcast@yahoo.com, find us on Facebook, or by calling or texting us at 580-665-9866. We would also like to invite you to sow into this ministry of God's Word by sending your offering of support to P.O. Box 142, Burns Flat, Oklahoma, 73624. Your seed will help us reach and teach as many people as possible with the truth of God's Word. Thank you again for your prayers and support. Now let's join Pastor Dwight for the rest of today's message.
So we know that in all things he's working for our good. Let me ask you, is he working together for Lazarus's good? Absolutely. You say, well, if he's working for his good, he better hurry up and get there and heal him. Well, he's working something even better than that. You know, sometimes when we pray and we ask God to do things, we're like a person of faith come upon a traffic light, and maybe we think we're in a big, big hurry because we needed to get out of the house sooner and didn't. And, you know, we're headed towards our destination, and here's a light, and the light is red on our side. And being the great people of faith we are, what if when we every time we said something and we wanted it our way, we just got it our way, just boom, immediately, without anything else having to change or take place? Now think about this. You're coming towards that traffic light. You see that it's red. You say, oh, I'm in a hurry. God, in the name of Jesus, I command that light to be made green. Boom, it turns green instantaneously without anything else happening except for what you can see. You get it just like you want it, just when you want it. And all of a sudden, you go through that intersection and somebody else comes and hits you. You wind up in the hospital. Your car's all wrecked. Oh, my gosh, what happened? Well, you got it your way. You got it exactly like you wanted it. Your light turned green the moment you asked for it. And by the way, it's because you wanted it instantaneously and right now, the light on the other side had not yet gone from green to yellow to red. And they were both green and you had a big wreck. Now, you know, I know that's kind of a silly illustration because traffic lights don't work that way. But when our light's going to turn green, when God's going to give us the green light on anything we ask for in prayer, there are many times that the circumstances that we can't see, like the traffic light on the other side, they have to change. It has to go from green to yellow to red on the other side, on the other circumstances, the things that I can't see, before God can move into the thing that I can see. And I want to say this to you today, and I pray you get a hold of it. I pray that this truth will set you free right here. Divine delay is not a divine no. Delay doesn't mean God is not going to do what we've asked. It does not mean that God has said no or that what we ask for is wrong, but there are many times that circumstances need to be worked on. And so here in the story of Lazarus in John chapter 11, God is dealing with the unseen. God is going to do a greater work than what they've asked him to do, but they don't know that yet. We have the advantage of having read. We know the end of the story from the beginning. Here we've read John chapter 11. We know what's going to happen with Lazarus. But I want for a moment for you to put yourself in their shoes and imagine that you are Lazarus or you're Lazarus's sister and you've asked Jesus, come, heal my brother. And you know Jesus is good. You know he's the healer. You know he can do it. You know he has done it. You believe he will do it. And you wait and Jesus stays right where he is for 2 days. He didn't even start coming your way for 2 days. And then because of that divine delay, Lazarus is laying in that sick bed. And I can only imagine, you know, they're gathered around him and saying, Lazarus, hold on, Lazarus, Jesus is coming. We've sent word for the master, and we know that he won't say no. We know that his promises are yes and amen, and he loves us. So we know he's on his way. Just hang in there, Lazarus. And Lazarus gasps and takes his last breath, his eyes closed, and he is dead. D-E-A-D, dead. And Jesus at that moment was telling his disciples, he's asleep, but I'm going to go wake him up. See, why did he say that way? Because from his perspective, that's exactly what it was. You see, there's not a situation in your life or in my life that God hasn't already seen the end from the beginning. And one of the prime principles of faith is that faith sees the end result. Faith doesn't look at the problems. Faith looks at the end result. Faith calls things that are not as though they were. And Jesus said, Lazarus is asleep and I'm going to wake him up. And so Jesus, the disciples didn't get it. He said, I tell you the truth, he's dead, but for your sake, I'm glad I wasn't there so that you may believe. So let us go to him. Now in verse 17 in John 11, it says, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. 4 days. And so Jesus arrives and the sisters begin to come out. Martha first comes out, says, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. I appreciate her faith in the fact that Jesus is the healer. And she said, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But if you listen to that carefully, you might hear this intonation of it saying, you know, you're late. You know, I expected you to be here. And I know if you were here, he would not have died. And she said, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But she made a great statement after that. She said, but I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. And so that's a great statement of faith. It's, I don't understand where you were, and I'm heartbroken because you didn't do it the way we thought it needed to be done. But even now, she is demonstrating an element of trust, as she said, I know God will give you whatever you ask even now. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha answered him. She said, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. You see, it's always kind of easy for us to accept and believe that God's going to do something great in our future. You know, we've always got heaven to look forward to, and in the great by and by, you know, God's going to do something wonderful. But the Bible says in Hebrews 11, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. You see, I believe that God wants us to believe him now. In Mark chapter 11, Jesus told us, when you stand praying, in verse 24, Mark 11, 24, when you stand praying, believe you receive, and you shall have what you pray for. Faith is now, and Jesus was talking about now. Your brother's going to rise again, like today, here in a few minutes, but she didn't get that. She just didn't get it. She said, you know, I know he will later, but she was so heartbroken and so disappointed. Sometimes, listen, our disappointment can stop us from seeing the plain truth that God wants to do something amazing in our life.
We hope you're being blessed and encouraged as Pastor Dwight shares this inspiring teaching from God's Word today, and would like to take a moment to thank you for listening and invite you to reach out to us here at the Truth Broadcast. It would be our honor to stand in faith with you in prayer about any need you have, and to rejoice with you for the wonderful things God is doing in your life. You can contact us by email at thetruthbroadcast@yahoo.com, find us on Facebook, or by calling or texting us at 580-665-9866. Thank you again for your prayers and support. Now let's join Pastor Dwight for the rest of today's message.
Sometimes, listen, our disappointment can stop us from seeing the plain truth that God wants to do something amazing in our life. You know, if you've been disappointed in life by something that's going on, I want you just to shake off that disappointment a little bit and just begin to look for the goodness of God, because God's wanting to reveal something good in you. Mary came out shortly thereafter, and basically she said exactly the same thing. Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. And when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews come out to weep with her, he was moved in the spirit. He said, where have you laid him? She said, come and see, Lord. And here's your Bible verse of the day. If you need one to memorize, a short, Jesus wept. And then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, now listen to this statement. Some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind have kept this man from dying? In other words, what they're saying is, you know, why didn't God stop this? If God loved this man, why didn't God stop this? If Jesus loved this man, why didn't Jesus prevent this? But I want to go back to the verse I mentioned earlier, Romans 8:28. And you need to mark it in your Bible. You need to have it on an index card. Put it on your refrigerator and in your car until it gets in your heart so deep that nothing can shake it. And you need to know this, that we know that in all things God is working together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. We know that, and nothing shakes it. So Jesus said, show me where you've laid him. And they went to the tomb, and Jesus looked at the tomb, and he said, remove the stone. And I love what Martha said. I love what she said. She said, Lord, by this time there is a bad odor. I like the old King James version on this verse. It said, Lord, he stinketh. You know, we got some situations in our life that stink sometimes, you know. But what she's saying is Lazarus is literally decomposing. His body has been in that tomb for 4 days. He's literally decomposing. What she's saying is, Lord, it's just too late. It's just too late. But what does Romans 8:28 tell us? It says, we know that in all things God's working together for our good. And it's never too late. The Word of God tells us that all things are possible to him that believes. And that with God, nothing is ever impossible. So Jesus simply puts that aside. He didn't say, oh, you're right. He just puts that aside. She said, Lord, by now he stinketh. And Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you'd see the glory of God? If you choose to believe it, it's never too late with God. when the Satan led the Jews to crucify Jesus on this past Good Friday in history, they thought, and the world thought, the disciples thought, it's too late, it's over. Jesus, who we followed, it's over. But Jesus had been telling them all along, it's never over with me. And on that third day, just as Jesus promised, he rose from the dead. He rose from the dead to prove that he is the risen Messiah, to redeem us from destruction. And just like in his resurrection, Lazarus couldn't have had a resurrection unless he died. Jesus could not have resurrected unless he died. And sometimes, you know what? It takes the circumstances of life to come to us, to bring us to the end of ourself, to bring us to the end of our own abilities and our own intellect, to bring us to that place where we've got to die to self so that you and I can have a resurrection. And I want to say to you today that whatever's going on in your life, if you've not received Christ, when you receive Jesus, he will always work on your good and on your behalf, and all things will work together for your good. So Jesus spoke to that tomb, to that dead man Lazarus in that tomb, 4 days dead and decomposing, and he said to Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth. And that dead man, the spirit came back into him, and he came alive. This is not a fairy tale. This is a factual account of the resurrection of a man. Resurrection of an ordinary human being just like you and I. And by the word of Jesus, he came alive. He came out of that grave. He had grave clothes on. Jesus said, loose him and let him go. I want you to know that Jesus doesn't want you to stay in the grave. Jesus calls you forth from the old life of dead things. And on this Resurrection Sunday, I want to encourage you that if life has gotten you down, if you've become discouraged, if you feel like, where is God in my circumstances, I want you to know that God is working on your behalf, that God is working on your good and not for harm. God said in Jeremiah 29:11 to the Israelites who had turned their back on God and gone into captivity, he never gave up on them. Even in the Old Testament, before Christ Jesus came as our redeeming Savior, even then in the Old Testament, God said to his people, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. I have plans to prosper you and not to harm you. I have plans to give you a hope and to give you a future. God's plans for us as New Testament believers are even more so. The Bible says we have a better covenant established on better promises, that we have the mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, to mediate between us and the Father. And because of his grace, God loves you. God doesn't look at you and see a sinner. God looks at you, and through Jesus Christ, he sees his beloved child. And I want to say to you today that if some things in your life have died, if you've been disappointed, if you've been brokenhearted, that it's not too late. On this Resurrection Sunday, the one thing that any of us could need more than anything else in our life is that we may need a resurrection ourselves. I want to invite you today that if you've not received that resurrection power of Jesus in your life, if you don't have the hope that comes from knowing him in a personal way, I want to invite you to receive Jesus today. Would you pray after me if you need to receive him? Say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you are the resurrection and the life. And Heavenly Father, I come before you this day to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. I ask for forgiveness. I repent of my sinful ways, and I pray now that the grace of Jesus be upon me. I pray that I be filled with your Spirit, that I may be your child, that I may live as you'd have me to live. And from this day forward, I belong to Christ. I confess with my mouth, Jesus is my Lord. I believe in my heart, he's raised from the dead. I celebrate it today. I celebrate the resurrection of Jesus this day. And I thank you, Father, I am now forgiven. I thank you, I am redeemed. I've been bought with the blood of Jesus, and I belong to God. I have a bright and glorious future ahead of me because Jesus loves me. And in all things I know, he's working together for my good. God bless you. Have a beautiful, wonderful Resurrection Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight Shepherd. If you prayed with Pastor Dwight, let us know. We would love to hear about God working in your life as we continue to pray for you. So send your prayer requests, praise reports, or financial support to The Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 142, Burns Flat, Oklahoma, 73624. You can connect with us by email at truthbroadcast@yahoo.com. So, Until next time, continue in the Word and let the truth of God's Word set you free.
The Truth Broadcast program is sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.